Patriot. Johnny Wendell here with Southern California Live with Johnny Wendell. Happy Sunday. Happy, happy, happy to all everywhere here in Los Angeles, California. Joined for the duration of this two-hour extravaganza and smorgasbord of news by producer Sammy, we were unable to procure the we weren't able to procure any guests. I was going to say, you know, for whatever various reasons, but no, we haven't been able to get any of them to confirm, so it's just us. Sir, how are you?
Not bad. How you doing?
I can't complain. I mean, I won't complain. There is a difference. More, Sam, this week about the ongoing kerfuffle in Newport Beach, as per Nazi salutes and swastikas. If you haven't been following this ludicrous tale, apparently at a house party in Newport Beach, a bunch of high school kids were Sig Heiling and goose-stepping the camera, and then out of their plastic cups made a swastika. And social media being what it is, went all over the internet very, very quickly. And a lot of them got into deep trouble. But it is peculiar that, you know, I mean, this is the kind of thing that tends to spark outrage every time this story comes up. And, you know, there were a few actions taken. I guess a Holocaust scholar came to the home of one of the parents, spoke with nine kids who'd attended the party. Some students had defended the conduct, didn't accept the invitation. The students who went were a little horrified by what they learned. The school district itself said it wouldn't disclose any disciplinary actions, citing privacy. And Juniper Serra Catholic High School in San Juan Capistrano said on Tuesday, last Tuesday, a student at the school photographed at the party is now a former student. He done got himself expelled. And a local soccer club said on Wednesday that a player linked to the incident is no longer with the team. I understand all of this stuff. But what is most remarkable to me isn't that, and this is what's always acclaimed by people who don't understand how stuff works. They will say, well, their right to free speech was somehow abrogated. That's not true. They aren't sitting in a prison cell somewhere with thumb screws on their hands. They didn't lose anything. Public and private entities chose not to have anything to do with them because of their conduct. This is not particularly unusual or unique. They were, you know, the government can regulate speech up to a point, and the government is not the issue here. The issue is that a bunch of kids did stupid things, which coincidentally, kids do stupid things. This is a remarkably dumb thing. If you liken this incident, perhaps, if you want to the insanity that's going on in Washington, D.C. over the remarks of a congressman, a Representative Omar. She's from Minnesota. And she had the gall and audacity and temerity to criticize the American-Israel Political Action Committee and was called an anti-Semite for her troubles. The issue in Newport Beach is that the kids were deliberately trying to piss people off and be offensive. These are children who grew up with social media. They knew this was going to be all over social media on some level. Maybe they got into the edibles and vapes a little too much and it slipped their minds. I don't know. I wasn't there, so I can't tell. But they knew what they were doing and are being sort of appropriately disciplined. Me, I would sit down with them and remind them that everything and anything that you do now is public. And not everybody is going to agree with you outside of the Aryan confines of Newport Beach. So, you know, it was a poor decision on their part. I know that a lot of Jewish families and students down there are not particularly happy about this. But I have to say, I'm Jewish myself. And this kind of thing doesn't particularly offend me. Because I know what y'all say behind closed doors. I'm joking. I'm joking. But getting back to the Representative Omar thing is that she criticized AIPAC, you know, the Political Action Committee, which is in favor of a more belligerent Israeli stance towards the indigenous people of the region. That's the kindest way of putting it. Okay. And she was raked over the coals. It should also be pointed out that in her same dissertation against AIPAC, she was rather nasty on the issue of Saudi Arabia. So I suspect Washington being what it is and the owners of Washington politicians being whom they are might just be that they're a little angrier about what she said about the Saudis than about Israel. But unfortunately, it doesn't resonate as much, and the opposing Republican Party can't make hay out of supporting Saudi Arabia in this day and age. In fact, it's sort of like the Saudi Arabia is sort of like the unbelievably hot mistress you keep on the side that nobody can know about anymore.
AKA the worst kept secret in Washington.
Right. You know, and especially after the murder of Khashoggi, she may be a red hot mistress that provides you with, oh, I don't know, billions of dollars in business and stuff. But she's an embarrassment at this point. That's a serious issue. That affects all Americans. The kids in Newport Beach, they're idiots. You know, and if some of them are, in fact, white supremacists or nationalists or Nazis or whatever you call them, then whatever evil befalls them in the wake of this, they brought on themselves. I recognize that we are in an America now where it is more acceptable than ever to express yourself in ways that didn't used to be considered, no pun intended, kosher. So, you know, people are acting out their race-based lunacy in public, and perhaps the kids got their cue from their elders. If so, this is unfortunate. But for the 1 millionth time, if you do anything on Instagram or Twitter or Snapchat or Facebook at this point, it, like hope springing, is eternal, and there's no way to get rid of it. And you'll always be associated with it. And guess what? In America, there are over 10 million Jewish people and Muslims. In fact, the number is close to about 15 to 20 million Jews and Muslims in America. So when you tee off on one of them or any of them, there's a fairly good possibility that your path will cross and they will recognize you as being an adversary. Which means that as an adult, you may find it difficult to have a business relationship with them. Or if you happen to live in the same neighborhood as they do, they're not going to bring over a Tupperware full of anything other than, oh, I don't know, dog excrement. This is Southern California Live with Wendell on the Patriot KEIB AM 1150. We'll talk a little bit more about this and related issues when we return. Stay tuned. KEIB AM 1150, Southern California, live with Wendell. Live with Wendell on a Sunday night in L.A. with Sammy, producer and co-host this evening, as our guests decided they were too good for the likes of Little Us. All right, that's not true. We couldn't lock them in, and these things do happen. We're discussing this incident in Newport Beach, which you may be kind of tired of at this point. It's a little tedious for me, too, where these kids at a high school party goose-stepped and sig-heiled in front of the camera and made a little swastika out of red plastic cups. Aren't those the same cups that were the red plastic holiday cups at Starbucks that were part of some big deal a while ago? Didn't Starbucks have some red cup issue, too? What is with this red cup thing?
It's either that or the Dixie cups that everybody just has for the parties. Really, it's...
But Dixie cups are little, and they're white with stripes around them,
No,
right?
they make the big red
plastic
ones.
Oh, they have big ones. Oh, those are Dixie cups too, huh?
Yeah.
Well, in that case, I wish I wasn't in Dixie. Hooray, hooray. Oh, that's awful. That's really terrible.
You know, they got a couple of half-hearted apologies from some of the kids.
Yeah, they did.
I wonder how many of them had college applications pending.
All of them.
Yeah.
The ones who don't have any fear or reservation or remorse about what they did, you know, I think that they will learn the hard way that this really isn't a very good idea, that it's not necessary to tee off on people who really have never done anything to you. But you can't tell people this stuff because they get it from their parents generally. I remember when I was a child growing up in eastern Massachusetts, my father, when we were 10, moved us to the next town over. And the place that we had been living in for, I think, the first not the first, but ages 3 through 10, was the city called Newton, Massachusetts, which was known as the Garden City. The joke was, it's the Garden City because there's a rose in bloom on every corner. There are a lot of Jews in Newton. See? That's what we got, you know, being Jews from Newton. Rose in bloom. I haven't heard those jokes in eons, but that's what we got. We moved to the next town over, which is Wellesley, Massachusetts, and it's where the famous Woman's College is. And it's night and day different, even though it's adjacent and in the same suburbs as Newton is. There are no Jewish people on our street. Eventually there were, but we were the first to get in our covered wagon and break the Jewish wild frontier down Route 9 in Massachusetts. And our neighborhood, when I was growing up, we on this little semicircle, was all Jewish people and Italian Catholics. So and lots of first and second generation Americans. So it was very lively and wild and noisy. And, you know, then we moved to the polite, staid white Anglo-Saxon Protestant town next door. And I noticed that it was like night and day, man. The people were very polite. They were very reserved. And it was also the first time I ever encountered anti-Semitism because I had grown up or become of consciousness in a Jewish city, more or less. Newton, I think, was 30 to 35% Jewish, something like that. My grandparents lived in the town next to that one, Brookline, which was even more Jewish. And, you know, I was always among people that were like me. All of my friends went to Hebrew school and, we were the dominant tribe, you know. Then we go next door and we're not. And you encounter this stuff and you've heard about it because certainly, you know, in the mid-1960s, the Holocaust was only 20 years old. So you heard lots about this stuff and you knew, and it was deadly serious. So I think I was in fifth or sixth grade. I was in this elementary school and I got my first dose of it from this kid, and I couldn't understand. I knew what it was. I didn't know why he was doing it, but he was like picking on me and ridiculing me for being Jewish. I don't even recall if it was over like my nose or what other Jewish things are there. I was talking with my hands. I was too young to be a good husband at that point. Can't think of any other Jewish stereotypes, and I certainly wasn't carrying lots of money or running the news media, you know. So I told my dad. Dad went out of his mind. And, you know, we went down to the school and had it out with the principal of the school, who died a couple of years ago at 95. He lived quite a while. And this other boy was dragged in and absolutely humiliated. You know, his parents were humiliated, too. They were horrified. But, you know, I was looking at him, and my dad was looking at him. We knew that he got it from his folks. You know, this stuff about me having horns and a tail and all that stuff. They believe that, you know. And he was shamed, and, you know, he didn't do it again. And in fact, he put up a blog post years ago when I made the CD that he loved. He bought it from me. We've been friends, you know, after this, and we've remained. You know, we don't talk to each other much, but, you know, we do. And he ran over it song by song, and then he ran over the incident of us as children. He goes, I've never been as embarrassed as that in my life, you know, and then that, you know, John eventually forgave me. It's like, well, I was never that mad at him in the first place. I just couldn't figure out why he was doing it. And I suspect that some of the Jewish kids in Newport Beach, they feel the same way. Like, well, what is it exactly we did to you?
Yeah.
You know, I didn't step on your toes. Why are you stepping on mine? You know, or, well, it's because I played in this country band for a while, and the pedal steel player was also Jewish. And he told me to go on the road with Freddie Fender and some of these other guys way, way back in the 80s before the Texas tornadoes and stuff. And Freddie was okay, but some of the other people in the band were like, well, you know, boo, your people killed our savior. They're from Texas, you know. Yeah. And, you know, Freddie was like, I want to drink my booze and smoke my weed and eat my pills. Go away. I don't care. Yeah. And he was a good boss and a nice guy. He didn't care, you know. But, you know, you people, you know. And Bob would be like, well, I'm kind of sorry about that, really. You know, like trying not to laugh. Like what the heck? What are you talking about, really? You know, killed your savior?
Yeah.
You know? And you sit there with this stuff and you don't understand what it is, but mostly what it is that you refuse to be like me for some reason. So I'm going to invent all kinds of reasons to get angry at you or to put you down. Or I'm going to do something that is bound to offend you and get a rise out of you, like, you know, wear Nazi paraphernalia or build swastikas and stuff like that. And they don't understand that at this point, when you have an environment where the president of the United States can't bring himself to criticize Nazis, that it actually has less effect. You know, it's like, well, you know, the Nazi embrace thing is sort of like, I don't know, it's like Dirty Dancing or something, you know, it's like mildly taboo. To me, it's always been the same thing. I mean, my favorite rock and roll band of all time, the New York Dolls, their guitar player wore a swastika. Their lead singer would say, well, when you were a kid, you'd carve a swastika into your desk. You weren't a Nazi. You just wanted to offend people. You know, and I suspect that's part of it for teenagers. But, you know, don't be surprised, though, that when the door swings in the other direction and Nazism becomes, you know, dangerously passé, that you're on the wrong side of history, just like Hitler was, in the bunker with a gun in his mouth and his dead wife by his side. That just tends to be the nature of things. Bad things kill themselves off. Southern California Live with Wendell. We'll be back. Stay tuned. Southern California Live with Wendell. Johnny Wendell, that would be me on KEIB AM 1150, the greatest station in the world, bar none. You have no idea how fortunate you are to be listening to me this evening, and me to you. See, it's reciprocal. You would have thought, on the issue of the sheriff's department in Los Angeles County, that we would have learned our lesson in the wake of Lee Baca, Sammy.
Oh, yeah. That was a mess. And I had the opportunity to meet Lee Baca a few times. And, yeah, his faculties are dwindling, let's just say.
But when his faculties were relatively intact and he was the boss, he oversaw an excruciatingly dangerous, violent, and litigation-prone county jail system in which people were badly hurt and killed, and his deputies were out of control and were quite the little gang themselves. So when McConnell came in and started to institute reforms, things started to improve. Unfortunately, Sheriff McConnell was defeated in election by the new sheriff, Villanueva, who could not wait to rehire a particular deputy accused of domestic violence. Sammy, you saw this story before we started talking about it, right?
Yeah, yeah. A person that had kind of a questionable history getting another chance at a job that really maybe they shouldn't have an opportunity to get.
Well, not quite questionable. In fact, I think, because as everybody knows, questions have answers, and we do have the answers.
Answerable, questionable.
On Karen Carl Mandoyan. He's the rehired deputy. Okay, Alex Villanueva has said for quite a while that his decision to reinstate him as part of a, quote, broader division to rebuild the department. He's talking about Mr. Mandoyan, who, oddly enough, is a fine law enforcement official that also happened to be Villanueva's chauffeur. Did you know this?
No. I don't smell nepotism.
No, not, no. Well, nepotism is a family affair. No, this is just plain old crony BS, okay? He was also a volunteer on Villanueva's campaign. And Villanueva claims that Mandoyan, his chauffeur and campaign worker, would be exonerated by a, quote, and Villanueva has actually created this, truth and reconciliation panel to rectify what he claims were past mistakes made by the department that harmed deputies. Okay. Unfortunately, for Sharif Villanueva, the LA Times has discovered that Villanueva was working to rehire his driver before he even took office this last December 3rd, and at least a month before the so-called Truth and Reconciliation panel issued any findings, which, by the way, were, of course, that Mandoyan's misconduct didn't merit discharge. Boy, there's a shocking decision for you, right? I mean, I've had MD 2020 that was less in a bag than that one, okay? Okay, the panel determined Mandoyan, quote, acted irrationally by repeatedly tapping on a woman's door and opening her window, and that he brought discredit to himself and his department, but he should be reinstated anyway. He's a stalker, in other words. He was bugging the crap out of a female coworker. I'm going to try not to break into song here. He was rapping on her window, tapping on her window pane. Whether or not he was actually singing "Until You Come Back to Me" to the woman is a different issue. We don't know this. But the sheriff he's been caught. Okay. On the 30th of November, there was an email from former Chief Alicia Ault. She headed the department's professional standards division, and she said that Villanueva had made a, quote, priority request to reinstate his stalking chauffeur, Mandoyan, and it was now in the hands of a lawyer. Okay. I have been told this request has been given to contract counsel and county counsel litigation attorneys to work with Mr. Mandoyan's attorney to achieve the goal of returning him to work, said the email 4 days before December 3rd, when Villanueva got more involved. Okay, Ault stopped working for the department on the day the email was sent.
Wow.
Okay.
Nothing coincidental there.
No, of course not. She couldn't be reached for comment, and neither could Villanueva. What is ultimately the issue here is this. Because you know, you listen to Johnny, Johnny speaks, Johnny comes up with different takes than you tend to hear. Okay. Villanueva was able to defeat McConnell, who was quite a capable law enforcement official, because he's running in L.A. County, which is primarily Democratic, and Villanueva ran as a Democrat. McConnell's a Republican. In 2018, being a Republican in Southern California is akin to having rabies. Okay, Republicans were wiped out in this. There, we do not have a single Republican member of Congress in Los Angeles County. And
Orange County got swept.
And Orange County got swept. I think the only Republican left who has even a toehold in Orange County is Calvert, and most of his constituents are in Riverside.
Yeah.
When the state is redistricted, Calvert will probably be gone, and Orange County may as well change its name to Blue County, or maybe they can be Orange and Blue, and Howard Johnson's will rise again. I don't know. The fact of the matter is, though, that it was a bad year to be a Republican, and I think a lot of people saw Villanueva at a D next to his name and voted for him accordingly. And he's turned out to be a typical cronyist who can't wait to reinstate his former chauffeur, who coincidentally is a creepy stalker.
Yeah.
Because that's exactly what you want in law enforcement, are creepy stalkers. After all, you know, the power of badge and gun coupled with an unnatural obsession. I you know, I can't imagine there ever being a problem with that.
Yeah. I can't see anything going wrong, any bad light going on to the department because of that.
No, it's just it couldn't happen.
No.
Yeah. But it has, and I think it's a cautionary tale for voters to pay more attention to your tribal affiliation, please. Here's a tip for you. If you're a Democrat, not all Republicans are Satan incarnate. If you're a Republican, not all Democrats are, pick your cliche. Okay, because there's so many of them, you know, and if you listen to this radio station Monday through Friday, you've heard all of them probably within an 8-minute span. Okay. That being said, pick the man or woman that you know the most about, that you figure is going to do the least amount of damage to you. We do not need law enforcement officials in Southern California that have tremendous power that are also former drivers for the boss and have an unnatural obsession with one of their coworkers or not, you know. I always thought that if you believe that law enforcement was to be respected, and there's a lot of law enforcement in America, whether you like it or not, doesn't get any respect at all, entirely by their own doing. It's not like people grow up thinking, I absolutely hate everybody with a badge and a gun, you know. Even in parts of L.A. County where there has been combative, contentious relationships between law enforcement and the public, a fair amount of the public still likes the cops and they like sheriff's deputies. They see them as being the line between them and anarchy. On the other hand, they don't like those that abuse their power and bring it down on people arbitrarily, because the arbitrary use of force is really, really terrifying when you have to go up against it in a court of law or worse, on the street. This is a bad decision. Mandoyan should never be rehired, should never be anywhere near the sheriff's deputies department. He might be the nicest person in the world and an absolutely capable cop, but the fact is that he was a gopher for Villanueva, who has done questionable things, who Villanueva has clearly pulled strings to exonerate, even creating a bogus panel whose findings weren't even relevant or germane. We got to watch this guy. We voted him in. That could have been a very, very poor choice on our part, because if it's Baca Redux, think about this. You may not encounter the sheriff's department in any of your dealings. You're a good law-abiding citizen. But when they overdo it and they're sued, guess who pays for it? You do. That's why it's important. Southern California Live with Wendell. We'll be back. Southern California Live with Wendell, Johnny Wendell, that'd be me at the Patriot, KEIB AM 1150, talking about this brewing scandal at the Sheriff's Department. Like to make a correction. It is not O'Connell or McConnell. It is McDonnell, not as in old McDonald having a farm, but as McDonnell. That's Sheriff Jim McDonnell. If you're just joining us, and I was mangling his name, I was probably thinking of Mitch McConnell in my head, the Senate Majority Leader. It does pay to sometimes read things as opposed to remember them off the top of your head. My bad. You may remember that last year, before McDonnell was voted out, he launched into what he hoped would be a comprehensive study of deputy cliques Okay. This was after the LA Times had revealed that a Compton Station deputy involved in the fatal shooting of a black man had testified he and 20 of his colleagues had matching skull tattoos. Hmm. Ooh, gang markings. Mm. Only they're police, so they can't be gangs. Guess again. Okay. That inquiry never got finished by Sheriff McDonald. Villanueva was a former lieutenant in the department, unseated McDonald, and took office in early December. Okay. Villanueva has drawn fire from critics who worry he is rolling back reforms meant to curb abuse by deputies and has at times defended deputies with these station tattoos, saying they're honorable people.
Hmm.
Gee, I wonder where I heard that. You know, people who are affiliated with a lethal gang are honorable or good people. He has criticized previous administrations for allowing a broader culture of hazing to fester in the department. So, in other words, the frat boy practice, which does extend to pretty much anybody who's new on any gig, as Sammy and I both know, hazing even exists in professional sports, in pro sports.
Oh, yeah.
If you're a rookie, you carry people's bags. Even the rookie LeBron James, when he was a rook for coming out of high school playing for Cleveland, had to carry bags and put balls away.
And their bag has to be a pink girl's backpack.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. It's, in other words, you have to be broken down so that as to be part of the team culture. It's sort of like basic training at Pendleton for people with a jump shot.
Yeah.
That said, clearly the prior sheriff to Villanueva was onto something. We have heard of this, and I've heard of this going back as long as I can remember living in Southern California, of groups of police officers that got matching tattoos and stuff like that and saw themselves as an important force in curbing the activity of gangs without seeing the ultimate irony that they're gangs themselves.
Mm-hmm.
This is really awful. Above and beyond what we were talking about in the last segment, where this is costly to taxpayers in Los Angeles County, in a jury trial, assuming that the county doesn't settle, you're going to lose every single time that you prove that people are affiliated in a group. You know, even remember how the Rodney King trial was moved out to police-friendly Simi Valley back in 1991. That's not going to happen anymore, okay? This now is going to happen right on Hill Street, you know, right on Temple, on 210 Temple. You know, that's where this stuff is going to be decided, and you're going to have juries who are not going to look fondly on this because we're in a time now, if you missed the very beginning, we talked about social media and its effect on the kids in Newport High School who are up Craps Creek for their Nazi nonsense. Up Craps Creek for their Nazi nonsense. Well, that's has nice rhythm.
Yeah.
Has good beat.
Yeah.
You know, there's a trail everywhere now. People see you got tattoos on your hands and so do 19 of your coworkers and their skulls, the inference is that you belong to a violent clique of some kind. And the prior sheriff to Villanueva recognized this and thought this can only lead to another Lee Baca-type situation at county. Inmates are going to get killed. We're going to get sued. Or worse, do recall that what broke the county story wide open, Sammy, if my memory serves me correctly, the Federal Bureau of Investigation planted phony prisoners in county in order to see what the deputies were actually up to. That it was the FBI who did this, correct?
I believe so.
Yeah.
I might be wrong on that one,
but as I recall, I think that they put CIs in general population, and that's when they found that there was rampant corruption. Folks, it's really, really simple. You may regard law enforcement as your friend, and generally they are, but oftentimes they're not. And somebody has to police the police. whether you want to or not. It would be really nice if you figured that the system was so wonderful that it would immediately separate the wheat from the chaff in academy, say. But that's not how it works. Eventually, a culture of us versus them, where police and sheriff deputies see the people who they're supposed to be working with, see the people that they work with as adversaries 100% of the time, and the us versus them thing comes in, you see trouble. You know, you would believe or you would think that at this point they would recognize that not every teenager that dresses funny is in a gang.
Yeah.
Or that all people who drive expensive vehicles and yet do not possess pale skin are not car thieves. Okay. You'd think they'd know this by now, but it may just be that they know it and they don't care. They like having the idea of having somebody that they can knock down and pick on, and you don't want that in law enforcement. But it means that you have to be vigilant too. It means you have to care too. And going back to the subject in the first segment, it means that if you are voting in an election, and we do vote for the sheriff here, that you do your homework and you realize that even if the sheriff in power is a member of the party that you oppose, lo and behold, they might be doing a pretty good job for all you know. What a shock. What a shock. Southern California Live with Wendell. We shall return. Southern California Live with Wendell. Johnny Wendell, that would be me. This lovely Sunday evening in Los Angeles, California. I noticed, Sammy, of course I noticed this, it being March, that baseball season is almost upon us. Spring training is beginning. Anybody you know making the trip to Arizona?
Aside from my boss, he's out there. He was posting from the stadium last night for the from the Dodgers spring training camp.
Yeah.
And look, I've always wanted to go and see how spring training is. It's just I've never had the opportunity, and I always wanted to kind of catch the atmosphere and the energy of it. There are towns that are nowhere near, like the Dodgers have had affiliates in Florida that are huge Dodger fans that are nowhere in proximity to where the Dodgers are. And they shouldn't, you would think that that town would have nothing to do with the Dodgers, but there's like a small town in Florida that's diehard Dodger fans.
But the
just because of spring training,
the Dodgers are in Arizona though, right?
They are now, but Previously they had a team in Florida.
Yeah, everybody and, was, it was because It was traditional that it was in Florida because you could take the train down there.
Yeah.
Once the Dodgers and the Giants moved to California, everything changed. It's because air travel changed. You know, everything became smaller and littler.
Yeah.
And it does raise an interesting question of us maybe rethinking how we get around in America. And I was thinking the other day about how odd it is that so many people will go to the mat for the idea of a sea to shining sea border wall between ourselves and Mexico. By the way, Trump's former chief of staff, John Kelly, came out last week and said that he thought the border wall was one of the dumbest ideas he'd ever heard. Okay. So even those that were in Trump's administration weren't exactly crazy about this. It's really odd, too. What was it, Friday? His Secretary of the Air Force resigned because apparently she wasn't moving quickly enough on creating the Space Force. Did you hear
really?
This? Heather Wilson. Yeah, she either resigned or was fired. White House Communications Director Bill Shine, he's out the door too.
Wasn't that like the guy he brought in to kind of craft the whole thing into the model of Fox News?
Yeah, I know. But apparently now that so many news stories are now linking Fox News to the Trump presidency that they're symbiotic.
Yeah.
that they, you know, they had to make a sacrifice out of this guy and kick him out the door to prove that they weren't, you know, in bed with Fox News. But anyway, it's pretty funny to me that the same people that are absolutely willing to spend the multiples of billions of dollars for a border wall, which ultimately will never do anything. Truthfully, if you want people who are undocumented not to live in America, don't hire them and they won't come here. It's really that simple. If they can't make a living, they won't come here. They come here to make a living. In fact, it's getting harder and harder to get them to cross the border because making a living in Mexico and Guatemala and Nicaragua is getting a little better, especially in high tech. And a lot of the younger people down there think of their abuelas up in a field somewhere in the San Joaquin Valley picking almonds, and they're thinking, you know, even for $12 an hour, I don't think that's a pretty good job. I think I'll figure out how to repair an iPhone down here in Central America and make, you know, $30 an hour, you know. Stupid, they're not, you know. Backbreaking work, they don't want. Funny that. They're just like Americans, right? But on the issue of spending money on high-speed rail in America, getting back to the Fox News types, they don't like this. It makes them crazy, the issue of high-speed rail. I have never seen anything as off the wall as the irrational reaction to this. Oh, a high-speed rail line between Madura and Bakersfield, that's from nowhere to nowhere. You know, which was to be the first leg of California's high-speed rail, right?
Yeah.
Now it's going to be put on the shelf by Newsom. He has other priorities. Okay. However, the federal government not too long ago decided that $900 million that was earmarked for high-speed rail in a federal grant, they were going to keep it. Okay, they weren't sending it back to California. This did not sit well with California politicians. After all, we send the federal government a lot of money, and we get back an awful lot less. Also, this state is America's economic engine in a lot of ways. We are its primary conduit to Asia and Australia, okay, in terms of trade. We produce 10 to 12% of America's oil comes out of California. A great deal of its fresh produce, most of its IT, you name it. It starts here. We are the fifth largest economy in the world, sometimes sixth, depending on what day it is. Some days we nudge ahead of England. Some days we're behind them, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So the issue of high-speed rail, though, in California really, really sets people off. You know, it's really a which side are you on question. What I don't understand is that people who really hate high-speed rail also, so far as I can tell, hate being stuck in traffic as much as people who support high-speed rail.
Yep.
And if you think about three routes out of Los Angeles to three particular destinations on a, Thursday or Friday afternoon or evening, and those destinations would be Las Vegas, Nevada, Palm Springs, California, or San Diego, California – I think that most people really, really, really hate the 15 freeway, the 10, and the 5 on any given afternoon heading south or west or east, excuse me. This is why I don't understand the antipathy to something that would have the potential to alleviate traffic by 15 to 20%, especially between here and Las Vegas. I have never made the trip into Vegas on a Friday afternoon from Los Angeles, have come back from Las Vegas on a Friday afternoon, and am astonished at the patience and tenacity of people on the 15 freeway going up through the Cajon Pass. Okay. Y'all look like a bunch of ants crawling up over the top of a hill.
Yeah.
As you're coming down from Victorville.
It's a 10-hour drive.
Okay.
On a Friday afternoon.
And it is a 265-mile drive from Los Angeles. That would mean that you are averaging 25 miles an hour. High-speed rail can now get up to speeds of about 240 miles an hour. It's getting faster and more efficient. That would mean that from San Bernardino to Las Vegas, assuming that the high-speed rail went from Union Station to San Bernardino, which would be its presumptive stop, if not Barstow, okay, you're talking Berdew to Vegas is 215 miles, right? That's 48 minutes or so of travel as opposed to 9 hours of travel. I think most people would opt for that. But for some reason, there is a great deal of animosity that is aimed at high-speed rail. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the reasons why this is. Because that's what we do here. We're news detectors and news dissectors at KEIB AM 1150. Please stay tuned. KEIB AM 1150. This is The Patriot. Not the New England Patriots, although this particular New England Patriot, Johnny Wendell, is speaking. That's me. I'd say go Pats, but the season is over. To go off on a tangent for a brief moment, Sammy, are you aware that the Patriots are about to sign the best defensive pass rusher in football, Michael Bennett?
I was not aware that they were making a move on him. I was still wrapped up in the whole Kraft story and how many other politicians were wrapped up with him.
Oh, it gets more interesting. I don't know if you're aware of this, but apparently photographs have surfaced of the Chinese madame who ran the Jupiter, Florida, what is it, the moons of whatever, or the House of Moon, whatever it was called, where Robert Kraft, the owner of the Patriots, is busted for a couple of happy endings. Yes?
Yes.
Photographs of her with the governor of Florida and the new senator, Rick Scott of Florida, and Donald Trump's campaign manager, and Donald Trump himself in the company of this woman.
During the Super Bowl, no less.
During a Super Bowl, which was between which two teams?
The Patriots and the Rams.
And the Patriots' owner is?
Robert Kraft.
And Robert Kraft busted. this is not a good. I'm not saying that when the president of the United States is in need of release that he goes to this particular place. It's not for me to say or speculate. I don't know. It is true, however, that a picture is worth a thousand words. And a picture of him with this slave trafficker is probably not a good thing. Although Trump's fans seem to have a bottomless capacity for forgiveness when the issue is Donald Trump.
Yeah. I think the term is the optics aren't good.
No, the optics are terrible. I hate that expression, by the way.
Know,
yeah,
I
it's
can't
awful.
Stand it.
But yeah, it doesn't look good. As is the nature of these things, more tends to be revealed as it goes along. And, you know, frankly, as election 2020 is drawing nearer, I got to tell you, I think at least 85% of the country has made up their mind one way or the other, if not 90, if not even more than that. I would say that while it is true that about 10% of the president's support has disappeared since he was inaugurated. He's lost about 10% of his supporters. The other 90% they don't care what he does.
Yeah.
Unfortunately for him, he is not going to have the good fortune and luck to run against Hillary Clinton. She said outright, not running in 2020, not running against her. She was, for him, a gift. She put off an awful lot of people. She was very difficult to like, which meant that a lot of people were voting for her simply out of fear of Donald Trump. The thing is that now, having seen Mr. Trump in action for 2 years and 2 months, people know who he is and what he is. And it is no longer fear. It is either those who liked him are happy or disappointed. And those who were afraid of him, their fears were confirmed. He was what you would expect, a reality TV star as president of the United States that watches Fox News 6 hours a day. You know, that's what he does. So, you know, being the kind of person who understands math the way I do, I would say that it is probably going to be very difficult for him to be reelected. Without having Hillary as the Antichrist to run against, if more likely than not, he will run against Biden or Kamala Harris or Beto, if Beto runs, or maybe somebody will. The governor of Washington comported himself very well in interviews, Inslee, Jay Inslee, and is very kind of distinguished and very presidential looking. He looks like he belongs on Mount Rushmore. I used to say that about Mitt Romney. You know, whatever you thought of Romney's politics, he looked like the president of the United States.
Yeah.
You know, if there was ever an ideal-looking American, it was Mitt Romney. Look at him. It's like he looked like, yeah, that's the president, you know. But it's I would think that Trump's problems, above and beyond the fact that you're going to see more indictments come and you're going to see more convictions, and also the fact that there's a great deal of anger and outrage that federal sentencing guidelines were ignored in the case of his former campaign manager, Mr. Manafort, I would think now that he has to be hoping a few things happen for him to be reelected next year. One, that the kind of so-so, wishy-washy economic news improves, that the country stays out of a war, and that his family is not indicted, his daughter and his two older sons specifically and his son-in-law, that they stay out of court.
Yeah.
There's no way that he can keep them out of Congress now, not with Schiff and Cummings and Maxine Waters running committees. They can subpoena you. You know, you got to show up.
Yeah.
You know, that is going to be a problem for him. But other than that, I would think that his main issue is that states that he surprised Hillary in are going to be – Pennsylvania, he can forget. The other two, I don't know. But this is going to be a different issue for him in 2020. Yeah. It's one thing when your fans love you. That's great. But your fans can only vote once.
Yeah.
And it's another thing when your opponent does not make so many people angry, you know. There is something to be said for the innocuousness, say, of a Joe Biden. Me, I hope the Democrats don't nominate him. I think he's too old.
Yeah.
I think he represents the past. I think Bernie Sanders is too old, and he represents the past. I would think that at this point, given that the base of the Democratic Party is women, people of color, and young people, that they decide that, you know, their base is important and to pay attention to them. Donald Trump represents the Republican Party base.
Yeah.
That's why they like him so much. The Democrats should have something similar, someone that represents their base, someone who's younger, has a little more vivaciousness, something like that. If they do, they'll probably be okay. Southern California Live with Wendell. We shall return. We shall, we shall, we shall. Southern California Live with Johnny Wendell, KEIB AM 1150. Me and producer Sammy have been manning this, navigating, because we're both men, navigating this ship through its rocky shoals on this radio program as all of our guests shined us. Not Bill shined us, who was the White House communications director up until a few days ago, shined us. We're feeling outshined, outshined, outshined. You know, I actually got into an argument in the gym over the merits of Chris Cornell singing the other day.
Really?
Yeah. I can't remember what it was. Somebody was playing something. No, it wasn't. It wasn't at the gym. It was at the bicycle kitchen.
Okay.
My 13-year-old son, my younger son, built a bike from scratch at the bicycle kitchen. You know that place on Fountain Ave?
It's like a Build-A-Bear for bikes.
Yeah, Build-A-Bear for bikes. Exactly. Like, you know, build a little Care Bear for bikes. And they're the most fantastic people. They are so into it.
Yeah.
You know, the whole bicycle subculture is remarkable here in Los Angeles. You know, it's just fantastic. You know, I know you and I were talking about the whole scooter phenomenon. Everywhere you go, you see green scooters tipped over on their sides.
Yeah.
You know, but these are people that, you know, their bikes are their lives, and they're so into them. It's like, for me, it reminds me of when I was a kid going to E.U. Wurlitzer's music store and watching them rebuild guitars.
Nice.
You know, but I never became like a guitar gearhead junkie type guy. It's always, as the older I got, it's, does it stay in tune? That's it. That's what I care. It stays in tune. I can play it. I don't care what it is, you know. But on the other hand, I was always a Fender guy over a Gibson guy, and probably if I played an electric guitar, still would be. But my 13-year-old son built a beautiful bike by scratch. These people were awesome. And Corrosion of Conformity is playing on their little Pandora thing. And we were talking, and I said something else came on, and I think it sounded like Queens of the Stone Age, and it had had some shrieky singer, and I said, it sounds like Chris Cornell. And we were debating the merits of Soundgarden and this bike shop. It was and Nirvana and Alice in Chains and all this stuff, and I was waxing nostalgic about seeing Nirvana in 1991 and how great they were. And, you know, I'm way older than everybody in the room by a significant amount, but it's like – we bonded over this kind of thing, and it was cool. You know, my 13-year-old son finished up. It was wonderful. He had a good week. My 16-year-old son did not have a good week. And I think it was Monday or Tuesday. I went to pick him up at his school near downtown Los Angeles. He wasn't happy. And I said, what's wrong? And he said, Dad, I got pulled out for a random search again. I said, for what, drugs? And he goes, no, weapons. And I said, they search your locker? No locker, search me personally. And he said, it's the fifth time this year. Jeez. Five times? And I'm like, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, he does have a problem curbing his mouth and could theoretically have said something that sent up red flags everywhere. But I know my boy well enough to know that even he understands the difference between casually throwing out stupid things in the confines of his own home as opposed to in school where you can get in trouble. He's not the kind of kid who's going to end up building a swastika out of plastic cups. He knows, you know. But he said, I said, why is this? What'd you say? And he goes, I didn't say anything. He said, Dad, I think they're singling me out because I'm white. And I said, how do you figure? You know, and he said, because the meme that is going around is that all school shooters and serial killers are white men. And, you know, he's 16 and a half. He's a white man. And I laughed initially. Me being me, my mind works very, very, very fast. And I said, you're in an inner city school. All of these school shootings are out in the burbs.
Yeah.
All these, you know, crazy people that do this stuff. And yeah, it does tend to be white kids, but I mean, white kids live in the suburbs. I mean, if you're going to have a school shooter, that's who they're likely to be. You know, they're going to look like, what's his name? Klebold and Harris, the Columbine killers from the 90s, you know, or the nut that shot up, it's the park.
Sandy Hook.
Sandy Hook, Adam Lanza.
Yeah.
You know, the crazy kid that shot up Sandy Hook, but he wasn't a student at Sandy Hook. Sandy Hook was like an elementary school or the Parkland Elementary School, you know, high school from which the woman with the shaved head came from. And what's his name? Hogg.
Yeah.
Yeah. The one who's got into
David
Harvard.
Hogg.
David Hogg, who got into Harvard. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I said to him, Well, you know, if you feel that they're singling you out unjustly, this is what you do. And I mapped out how you write a letter to the principal. This, my name is who I am. This is what has happened. I feel that I am unfairly being singled out because of my race and my cultural background, that there is an assumption based on profiling that I could theoretically be a school shooter. And then, you know, list the reasons. We don't have firearms in the house. He's never been in a fight in school. He's never been arrested. His mother's never been arrested. I've never been arrested. There's no domestic violence. His parents are together. In our weird little bohemian central LA way, we're a very typical nuclear family, although really an atypical nuclear family, because most American families now, majority is, are single parent. Yeah. Well, we're not. We are a traditional American family, albeit with me at the head of it, which means tradition be damned. Anyway, so that being said, I told him what to do, and I told him that I would back him up in this. But I also told him a few things. I said, make sure your bases are covered. Think to yourself, did I ever say anything that anybody can repeat as, well, you actually said this? You know, remember carefully and clearly, did this security officer, I guess his name is Mr. Therese, according to my son, Therese walks in the room and points at him first, always. You know, I said, make sure that you have some confirmation of that. Ask others if this is so.
Yeah.
You know, vet yourself. Otherwise, you may have some trouble here. I said, make sure you do this. And most importantly, at no point in the letter ever say what retribution is headed their way unless they correct this problem. I said, that is the mistake that most people make who are not attorneys, is that they threaten someone, whether thinly veiled or overtly, they threaten somebody with something. Don't do that. What you want is, you want this guy to get off your back. You got, you know, a few months left this year, 1 year left, you're out of there.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want this to continue. You believe this is happening, and I'll back you. You know, I'll go in and I'll talk to the guy. You know, you don't bring up stuff like the American Civil Liberties Union, for example.
That's going to be like just putting up a wall.
Well, no, it's like it's the battle line is drawn. Yeah. Then it's like you're clear that you intend to litigate them. That is, you can get into trouble for that. You know, then they, you know, they got more resources than we do. Admittedly, the ACLU has more than they do, but you know, it's just like you get tired of this stuff. This stuff is exhausting. It's like I would like to sit down with the security guy myself, man to man, just one-on-one, and say, how do you think it feels to be part of 2.5% of something, Mr. Therese? Okay. The fact of the matter is if you were raised in Los Angeles County, you know, you have always been part of a very large community of people who are just like you. Okay. Now, when I was growing up in the suburbs of Boston, it was all white folks. So I know what it's like to be a part of the majority, the dominant majority. However, since my 33rd birthday or so, I believe I have lived in a majority white neighborhood once in the last 30 years. Oddly enough, this is peculiar, especially for a middle-aged white man from the suburbs of my generation. I tend to be less comfortable around large groups of older white people. They're a little too uptight for my for my happiness, right? But I would sit down with this security guy and go understand how he feels. You know, he already knows he's different than everybody else. You know, and you singling him out makes him think, oh, the feeling different is the result of something that's real and tangible, that this is how life is. I don't want that. I want him to feel like I go to school, I get my grades based on my merits, and that's it. I'm treated by the establishment a certain way because of the way I behave, not because my skin color is different or I don't speak English with an accent, or I speak English as a first language, or I got straight hair and blue eyes, or my clothes are different, or I listen to different music, or I play a different video game, or my mom packs a different lunch, although, you know, we're typical Angelenos. We, you know, eat pretty much anything and everything from everywhere.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of being here. I think that that's what he would want, you know, and I, to sit down with this guy. And, you know, I'm not going to say, look, man, you know, I got to tell you, you're singling my kid out. You know, I'm going to make your life a living hell, just so you know. I'll do this. I got all the time in the world, man. I'll do it. You know, you do not want an underemployed, angry old Johnny up your butt like a hemorrhoid, okay? Because I can and I will do this, you know. Papa Bear is fiercely protective of his cubs, you know. And I would not put it past my son to be exaggerating this in his mind based on projecting the feeling of being in a tiny minority, projecting out onto everything else. They're out to get me because I can't defend myself because there's so few of us. As it turns out, my son's chief antagonist at this school is also one of the few white people there. She is relentless in her criticism of him. Go figure. And she is the person he likes the least there. So maybe I'm wrong on that one. But more will be revealed. And I told him, you know, you figure out what you're going to do. Do it. Cover your bases. Present your strongest argument. And know that I'm in your corner and your mother's in your corner. You know, we don't have to sue them or any of them or come down on them or yell at them or act like a bunch of angry, fractious children ourselves because we didn't get our way. We'll get to the bottom of this. We'll figure out what the truth is and we will proceed because that's what civilized people do. I realize that, you know, when you have this whole culture of vendettas everywhere that emanates from the White House down in America right now, that it's really, really hard to think of yourself as, no, we want to preserve and protect certain norms, and I want my children to understand you can lean on those norms, and then they disappear. I don't like that.
Yeah.
You know, and also I don't like people who frivolously sue other people because they can or because they see a great big payoff that's going to make their lives better. That's just – it's crap. It means everybody's taxes go up to cover me.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to be that man. I don't want to be that guy. Maybe next week we'll have a clearer picture. He has not yet worked on this letter to the authorities. Southern California Live with Wendell. We'll be back. Stay tuned. Southern California Live with Wendell, the Patriot, KEIB AM 1150. It has been speculated that some of the outer ring of Los Angeles' communities are not as enthralled or as happy as we are with the new proliferation of rented bikes and scooters, which are pretty much cropping up everywhere. I got news for you. They wouldn't be cropping up everywhere if people didn't like them. I did not see a Deadhead sticker on a Cadillac. That was from 35 years ago. What I saw the other day driving my kid to school was a businessman in a nice button-down white shirt and a brown tie on one of those little flare scooters motoring rapidly down the hill on Sunset Boulevard towards downtown Los Angeles, towards the corner of Sunset and Figueroa. And I just thought it was hilarious. I mean, you know, he's got a lot of confidence that he's not going to fall off this thing and, you know, muss his outfit.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was doing it. And I thought, this is cool. Was reading recently that Monrovia and now apparently Arcadia are looking at banning these things. I don't know why they would. Having spent enough time in the San Gabriel Valley, they do have wider boulevards. They have less traffic once you get off the 210, which, as we know, is death during life. Yeah. And maybe they don't feel there's a need for it. And they also believe, as so many people do in the far-flung suburbs, that if you have easy access to said far-flung suburbs, the undesirable element of the cities will leak in. I don't see that. I also see that one of the reasons that these things are so popular is because people really love the idea of not having to deal with Los Angeles traffic. And you get on one of those in a bike lane or in the street, it's dangerous. I've never seen anyone on one of those things wearing a helmet.
Yeah, that's where I could see some issues coming up, is that if there's an accident, I'm sure people, like, they don't have to fill out a waiver or anything.
No, you just rent the thing.
Just grab it and go.
Yeah.
So I'm sure there's going to be some kind of liability if an accident happens.
Yeah, and it's going to be frequent.
Yeah.
We know that we have an enthusiastic bicyclist in the family at the age of 13, and we've seen there were two bike-based fatalities within a mile and a half of us, radius-wise, lately. One on Riverside Drive, and I think the other on Sunset. And I've said to him, he wants to ride his bike to school, and I just said, no. It's like, you got to understand that these people drive worse than I do when they want to get to work in the morning to be on time. You know, we have this weird, you know, Teutonic sense of time when it comes to getting to work on time. This is one thing to be a badly trained, badly acculturated Massachusetts driver like your father. I'm ultra aggressive. The thing is the one thing about being ultra aggressive is you're ultra vigilant too. You're very careful when you drive with a lot of aggression. You know, I do that weird little tap dance with the accelerator under the brake. I don't use the 2 feet. I move 1 foot. Mm-hmm. When you're doing the 2 foot drive thing, you're going to get into trouble.
Yeah.
So
I've only seen people just jam their brakes when there's no steadiness to using your brake if you're using 2 feet. It's only like a jerking brake feeling.
Also, sometimes I drive with my left foot because I have issues with my right leg and I have to extend it across the passenger seat. So I will drive with the left foot.
That can't be comfortable.
I've had bad right knee and back injuries and from weightlifting and stuff. I've driven, you know, I had sciatica down one leg so bad I couldn't even use it. It's like I'm used to driving with my knee under my chin or my other leg wrapped across the center, you know. You get used to it. You adjust. You got places to go. You be there. But I'm all in favor of these little scooters. I think they're great. I know that down by the beach, they have really lightened up traffic in Venice especially. Malibu's a little far-flung and a little sparser. I don't know if they'll ever catch on, but I know that the rent-a-bikes have. Just as I really – I was shocked to find that the train line to the ocean from downtown L.A. is just they keep adding more and more cars because they just keep selling out. People in L.A. – miracle of miracles, as it turns out, are no different than anyone else. We are not in love with our cars. We are in love with getting from A to B quickly. And the fact that A to B are so far flung and mass transit is never going to cover all of it, more power to the scooter, more power to the rent-a-bike, more power to bicyclists. Why not?
You would think it would be really popular in the areas that have a lot of college, a big college presence, but I think even CSUN is trying to ban them as well.
Right. And this has been a controversy at Dominguez Hills and other schools as well. I think what they're worried about the liability of it.
Yeah.
You know, I would think that where it would be most difficult would be Caltech. Because you talk about, you know, my kids did summer camp at Caltech, did IT stuff, and I have never seen students so blissfully unaware of the outside world as the ones that went to that school. It's like their faces are buried in their tablets and iPhones 100% of the time. I would assume they have a full-time broken nose clinic from people walking into poles at Caltech. They're into their thing. That's what they do. At any rate, it's been a joy. It's been a pleasure. If you took offense at anything that I said, I'm Johnny A. Wendell at Twitter. I'm more than happy to although I did, I'll tell you this. If you're angry about something, make it specific. You know, you don't like something and you decide to come up with some ridiculous wisecrack. I throw you away like Wednesday's recycling. That's just the way it is. Because, you know, as I've said over and over and over in the show, I believe in being civilized. Can't be civilized with me. I can't be civilized with you. Southern California with Wendell. See you later.
Oh, God. Oh, God. I lost the fire in my belly. And all my muscles turned to...